There is a handout sheet if you care to follow along. I've been talking for about 2 months now. I started talking about worry and how easy it is to worry. And when we do worry, how it really is the fact that we just don't trust God. We don't trust His sovereignty. We don't trust His power. And we don't trust His love. That's what it comes down to. Now, I wish I could have preached those two messages that quickly. So, you know, that is incredible, is it not? That I can summarize it in a few words. But then you would have missed me pushing the shopping cart back and forth, and you would have missed me, you know, illustrating different things that you will remember way past Sunday morning. We had the privilege of having our game dinner speaker that's scheduled for this year, Dave Little. They stopped by the house on Friday, and we actually rented out the room for them. They were in Harrisburg, and he's preaching in Hornell, New York today, and said, took us up on an offer where if they're in the area and they need a night stay, just to give us a call, and they did. And I was telling them about the different antics that I do, and I said how I illustrated how a lady puts on pantyhose. And of course, you know, he's a hunter. And he says that, I didn't know this, fellas. You hunters out there, that they say if you wear pantyhose, it keeps your legs warm, right? Let's see who wears them, okay? Let me see. Glenn's got his hand up. And I said, okay. And I said, well, yeah, I never put pantyhose on. And then he said, well, what were you trying? I said, and I was illustrating how a lady puts pantyhose on. And I said, they really like that. And he said, well, what truth were you illustrating? And I said, I don't know. And I said, I doubt whether they know, but they do remember that I can illustrate how to put pantyhose on, right? So we went from worry to hope. And really what happens a lot of times is as we live in this world, and you have to literally bury your head in the sand not to expose yourself to news taking place. We live in information overload, do we not? We live in a day where, just 75, just 50 years ago, the amount of information that we have at our fingertips at any moment would literally take weeks, maybe months to get to us. And yet, we are just... can you imagine, you know, television went from, now, you oldsters, you'll appreciate this, went from black and white to being on about 12 hours a day, or, you know, it came on at maybe 6 o'clock in the morning, and at midnight, they played the national anthem, right? And then it was the test pattern to cable channels that run constantly 24 hours a day with news channels where you have a variety of news channels that are just spitting out news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and they even have enough to fill leap year in with that extra day. You know, there's no lack. And so I think sometimes what happens is as we are bombarded with all these things, we have a tendency a lot of times to think, oh my, and it discourages us. Well, the Bible says that we ought to be people of hope. The Bible says that God gives to us the peace that passes all understanding. Now, when you think about those passages, then Dave Dressler, and I'm not talking about you, Dave Dressler asked himself, well, then why don't I live with that peace all the time? If I am supposed to have joy that's unspeakable and full of glory, why am I not always joyous, right? And so I put together this series for me. I'm glad that you listened along. So today is our third message in there, and really as we come, it's interesting because Psalm 45, some of the things we'll be repeating, because you can't talk about hope without repeating some things. I hope you don't think it was just because I didn't want to work this week and I just pulled out this and took the other two messages and combined them. But if you look at Psalm 43, Psalm 43 actually is a continuation of Psalm 42. The psalmist was very discouraged. He was exiled from his country. He could no longer worship where he wanted to. And Psalm 43 is where he begins to get back on track And verse 5 is our text verse, and he says this. It's interesting because the psalmist asked himself this question, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" That means this, the psalmist was discouraged. The psalmist had felt in his life that things were overwhelming. And he comes to the conclusion, he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" And he says this, he's encouraging himself. He says, you know what? You have to hope in God. I must hope in God. Now let me ask you something. And I just thought of this now. Who is your God? Now that's an interesting question. Because if we're not careful, we will create a God that does not exist and worship that God. We've got to be very careful, even as believers. When people start saying things like, "Well, my God wouldn't do this," or "My God wouldn't do that," you better make sure that what you believe about God is substantiated with Scripture. Amen? And not some of the phony baloney that's going around today in Christian circles. Come on now, amen? So we'll start with number one. Oh, by the way, I digress. If you were here Sunday night, I should have that T-shirt and put it across here. Some folks sat at a campsite, and they started talking about what the pastor says all the time, and they came up with one of my favorite sayings, "But I digress." And I got a beautiful T-shirt that says, "But I digress." And so I can hardly wait to wear that to the mall. You know, because if you don't think people read T-shirts, how many of you read T-shirts? Okay, the T-shirt reading crowd. Yes, everybody does. So number one is this. Hope comes from God. And this is where it starts. If you're looking for a new program, if you're looking for a job, if you're looking for a spouse, if you are looking anywhere other than God for hope, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be hopeless. Amen? Because that's where we start. See, I look at our young people here, and I just think it's so wonderful that they're able to be here and be able to sit and listen, because I'm going to tell you a secret. If you're looking for your job to give you fulfillment in life, did you hear what I just said? You know what I considered a good job? If I liked 60% of the work. That means 40% of the work I didn't like. Amen? Oh, yeah. And so young people, they'll go to school, they'll meet with guidance counselors, and these guidance counselors are going to show them the way, and they'll get the book out and they'll say, "Oh, you want to work in this field? Well, this is what these people make." And pretty soon it's like, well, my hope's in a job, my hope's in money, my hope is in... And you know what you find out? You get out on the job, and you're in the field you trained for, and it's like, "Well, this ain't like it said in the book." Come on now, amen? Oh, yeah. I remember the lady that cut my hair when I was up in Bakerburg, Patty Shibori. I would sit down there and I'd say, she says, "Pastor, I never worked a day in my life. I absolutely loved everything about being a hairdresser." That's rare, isn't it? But you know what you find out? Even if you love your job, that's not your hope. Because that can disappear in a second. I met a fellow, his name was David, lived outside of, just down the street from us there, Bakerburg Community Church. The reason that I remember so well is he had a Red Baron pizza delivery route. I'll tell you what, that's my favorite person in the world. Yes! And I'd stop in and I'd see David every once in a while. I'd send frozen pizza home with me. That's even double blessing, right? Well, to make a long story short, he got married later in life. It was a second marriage. And it was just right after their wedding, maybe 2 weeks. And me and Karen, I think we were actually out of town for a week. Came back, found out he is my age, had a massive stroke. Massive stroke. He was in Strong Memorial for months, hanging on to life. Well, he finally got better, but not to the point to where his whole ability to work is completely gone. His whole ability to, the only thing that he can do is mow grass. That's all he can do. He has a mower and he mows. Can't communicate.
He's my age, 60 years old.
Where's our hope? Hope can't be in a job. Our hope must be from God. Watch this. It is essential that our hope is objective. See, if we make our hope subjective, watch this. My hope's going to be in the next administration that's going to be voted in. Oh, yes. Right? How about this? How about our hope is in the newest medical breakthroughs that are on the horizon? And yet, I hate to be morbid. Every hospital has a morgue. Why does it have a morgue? Why does it have a morgue? Because with the latest, greatest medical breakthroughs, people still die. Amen? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you go to... we're visiting up with Tim and Jade, and not many people know this, and I hate to embarrass you, Jade. I haven't cleared this word, so pray for me, because Tim could really hurt me for saying that. But she went and had surgery done on her knee, and it didn't work. Isn't that wonderful? And the doctor said, well, that's okay. Oh, yeah, should have took your husband in. And after he'd have thrown him around the office a little bit, he might have said, well, maybe I can try to do a little better next time. Right? How about this? Maggie's had surgery. Painful. I can remember when I had my hands operated on. Oh, yeah. See, they don't, if they tell you actually how long it takes for it to heal up, you won't go. They go to the same school that they teach the airline stewardess to lie to you about your luggage. They do. They all go to the same school for that one class. How to lie to the person across from you and smile and convince you that they're telling the truth. And so, now, we don't, as preachers, we don't go to that class. We're just poor liars, okay? But watch this. Here's the next point. The psalmist is simply reminding us not to despair because God is the source of our hope. People say this, oh, I just can't wait till the economy gets better. Amen? I get so sick. You know, we take all kinds of polls now. Consumer confidence is down right now. Well, who in the world did they ask? You know? They never asked me. I'll tell you what. All it takes for me to be happy is a medium vanilla cone dipped in chocolate. That's it, buddy. I'm happy. Karen, she brought some... What was that new stuff you brought home from Walmart? She brought some stuff home from Walmart the other night. It's a General Tso's, and it's already pre-done. You put it in the microwave. It's pretty good. It's eat that, and I'm sitting there. Just, consumer confidence is high at my house. And so what we think is, oh, we got to have an economy. We're going to get an economy off the ground. What are we going to do? And it's just like, what are you talking about? And so, you know, nobody wants to see the days of depression. But I will say this. Money has never made a person happy. Come on now, amen? Money has never made a person happy. Titles have never made a person happy. Come on, amen? Oh, yeah. And you know what it comes down to? If you're going to put your hope in that stuff, you'll be just like Ralph that showed up at Broad Acres one day. He had a huge farming outfit. I can remember I walked into the activities room where he held the service, and there he sits in a wheelchair, and he sat there. I introduced myself. They told me his name was Ralph. I said, how you doing, Ralph? He goes, I never thought I would end up in a place like this. Yeah. You know what? His hope was in everything else except God. Come on now. Amen? Oh, yeah. See, I can remember Dr. Barrickman, which I have. He was the theology professor at Practical Bible College. He ends up in Broad Acres in a nursing home in his 80s. Instead of sitting there in a wheelchair, I never thought I'd end up like that. You know what he does? He holds a Bible study in the activities room because you know what? His hope's not in anything other than God. And you know what he did? He accepted God's sovereignty in his life and said, you know what? I choose to glorify God. Amen? Oh, yeah. And yet I visit. I'll visit up at Golden, and we'll go out to Nottingham, and you got people sitting around, I just want to go home. You ever think about this? And if God is really my hope, then He's the one plotting out the journey. And where's the journey going to take you? Can be exciting, or it can be full of despair. What is it going to be? Amen? Number two is this, we're going to look at some of the different components now of hope. The first one comes from God, but hope is a gift of His grace. This is what, and you know, turn there. I knew I would be digressing all over the place there, but I got that wonderful T-shirt. How can He not help but digress? But look at this passage in 2 Thessalonians. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God the Father, who has loved us and given us the eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. See, hope is a gift of His grace. We talk about grace. It's interesting that Jeremy sang about grace. Right, Jeremy? Oh, yeah. You know, there's so much that we have by grace. Our salvation is by grace. You didn't earn it. And if you think for one moment that somehow you were smarter than anybody else in this world to see your need for Christ, you don't understand grace. Because you know what grace is? Absolutely this. Unmerited favor with God. That's it. You didn't do a thing. As a matter of fact, my Bible teaches me that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? God didn't look down at Davy Dressler and say, oh, there's a good boy. Did you ever think about this? You go to a maternity ward. Now, see, years ago, they used to have the big glass up there, and all the fathers were standing there going, looking in there, and they're going, back there, that was mine. The other one, no, that was mine, too. That's just like, yeah, but mine's nicer than yours. You know, it's just like, get your kid away from my kid, right? I remember reading a book where it was that time. See, now everything, they got suites. You know, you go in there, and the baby's in there, and, you know, all that stuff, and stays in a room most of the time. But it used to be they were behind the glass, and the fathers all stood there. Father standing there, why, look at that little sinner that needs the grace of God. Boy, you want to get a fight in a hallway in a hospital? Just do that. Just do that. Amen? That's the reality, right? Our salvation is by grace. Watch this. You live every day by grace. If you don't think you need the grace and mercy of God every day of your life, talk to me. Because I want to find out what you're doing. Because what it comes down to is this, is every day, if we got what we deserved, we'd burn in hell forever. Come on now, amen? Oh yeah, but it's the grace of God. Now watch this. Hope is the same gift. It's a gift of His grace to us. You say, well, okay, Pastor, you're teaching us about hope. Of course, because it may be that you are misguided and you're thinking, well, you know, I got a good job, but what happens when that job goes away? Well, I got good health, and I feel good. And what happens when that health goes away? Well, you got... you know, take for instance in the case of Bakerberg, you know, they were scared to death their pastor was going to leave, and it happened. Okay, you say, well, now you're lifting yourself up. No, I told them, I said, your hope cannot be placed in a person. Come on now, amen? Isn't that the truth? Oh, yeah. And you know what happens? Our hope is a gift of His grace in our life every day. That hope is new every day because it is grounded in the Father. Amen? And you know what? The passage says this, and I put this in the article for the newsletter where it says this, I, the Lord, change not. God never changes. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? My world around me is changing at breakneck pace. And people says, isn't your head spinning? It is, if my hope is found in this world. But watch this. If my hope is grounded in God and I understand it's a gift of His grace, you know what? I ain't dizzy. And I can stand. I wish I could say that all the time. Then number three is this. Our hope is defined by Scripture. Look what it says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And so what do we have? Twofold there. The Scriptures define our hope. And we talked about this the other day a little bit. And so I realize that I'm touching maybe on a point I used a week or two ago. But notice what Romans says. Paul, as he's writing to the church of Rome, he says this, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. He's talking about the Old Testament there. Watch this. It is the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. I remember a fellow coming to my office many years ago up in the northern tier, and he said that, you know, he would just get so discouraged, and so he chose to think that music was that which would give him hope. And you know what? Nothing wrong with music. I like music. Don't you like music? I like good music. Don't you like good music? Oh, yeah. But I'll tell you what. Music gets old after a while. It really does. My ears get tired. Sometimes you just like that quietness. Don't you? And you know what we need to realize? That it is the Scriptures that give us hope. We might be able to excite ourselves emotionally. We might be able to even distract ourselves emotionally. But when it comes down to it, if it is just an emotional experience, then you come down. I remember when I was a little boy, Easter, you always got a lot of candy, okay? Now, I didn't figure this out till I was older, but after you have that sugar rush for so long, then you come crashing down, right? That's why you just load them up with it, and then about 2 hours later, they're sleeping. Okay? Because that's what sugar does. What? It gets you just, you're peaking, and then the bottom just drops out, right? And you know what? I think a lot can be said about that when we try to work ourselves up emotionally. That's why our valleys get so deep, because we are the ones that are trying to do it. And God says, wait a minute. It's my Scriptures. And look, perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures. Are you persevering? Now watch this. A little play on words here. Are you persevering in the Word of God? That's what it comes down to. You know, a lot of times people think you set to a sermon. Okay, we're explaining the Scriptures here. Hopefully. I mean, yeah, you learned how to put pantyhose on the other year. Okay, guys, that was an insightful lesson. I understand that. You learned how to find the quickest checkout at Walmart at church here in the last year. Isn't that wonderful? Hopefully, though, we've explained some Scripture. And the passage of Scripture that says, he that endures to the end shall be saved, is not talking about enduring through the sermon. Right? We are to persevere as we handle the Scriptures in our life. So, I better check my notes here a little bit. Oh, this is interesting. Oh, I missed that point. There's a point on your sheet, right? Oh, no. Here we are. Number four, our hope is reasonable. Okay, it just all goes together. Okay, because the Scriptures do this, okay? Our hope is defined by Scripture, and that makes it reasonable. That's what it comes down to. Did you ever see somebody, they put together a plan? Did you ever, and marketing, people are just geniuses at marketing, are they not? I mean, there's some people that could actually sell ice cubes to an Eskimo. There's people that can do that, okay? I can't. I'm very poor at marketing. But, you know, what happens is this, is a lot of times, people, they just, give me something to do, or we got these next 5 points, and so we end up working this plan. But you know what? A lot of times it's just not reasonable. I don't want you to throw anything at me, okay? Promise? I want to see promises here. I don't want anybody to throw anything at me. I actually stumbled and fell the other day, and I was watching Dr. Oz. Oh, I know. Please, please don't hate me for that. And he was talking about, watch this. Now watch this. Eating healthy for $4 a day. Okay? Eating healthy. Now, you're looking at a guy that's the example of health. Right? Trim. Muscular, right? Well, that gets my attention because I'm thinking, I can't even eat lunch for $4. Can you eat lunch for $4? You know, when he was done with that program, now watch this. Now, I'm being, because it fits right with my message. That was the most unreasonable thing I ever heard in my life. You know why? Because here's these two people, and they wrote this book, and they want you to, and everybody's, I imagine the phone lines were burning up. I don't know how many days a week you can make that cabbage soup that they made for, you know, $1.74 a serving. Well, that means if I eat two servings, I had to drop breakfast and lunch. Right? See, that's the way the world is. The world is so unreasonable. But yet our hope is reasonable because it's defined by Scripture. Look what 1 Peter 3:5-15 says. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope. That's because our hope's reasonable. People come to you and say, well, how do you have joy? How do you have peace? How can you love unconditionally? But watch this. How can you have long suffering? You know, I exhibited long suffering this week. I didn't drag anybody out of their vehicle, Jade. I didn't do that. Amen. And I was coming out Route 35 with my grandson in the van, and this guy, he backed right out in front of me with his VW. I had to stop on Route 35. The speed limit's 55 miles an hour there. And it's just like, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, I wish I could have caught him. No. I didn't do anything. See that? And I'm thinking to myself that the Word of God teaches us, how can I be long-suffering? How can I have patience? How can I exhibit goodness? Well, I'm just talking about Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit in my life. If my hope is in anything other than that, oh yeah, that's what it comes down to. And you know what happens? People see hope. People see hope. Do you know why our nation is in such a tizzy right now? Because in our presidential election, both of them are talking about hope. Is the Christian deceived? Thinking that somehow one person at the head of a nation is going to bring hope? My Bible says this, is that I ought to be ready to give an answer to those around me for the hope that lies within me. And what is that hope? God's my hope. God loved me so much that He sent His Son to die, that I might be saved, that I might experience this hope in my body and in my life. Amen? Oh, yeah, that's what it comes down to. And so, number five is this. Our hope is a defense against the attacks of Satan. And so, here's what we've done. Okay? Here's what we've done. We've looked at Scripture. That's all we've looked at today. Oh, I threw a couple stories in, told you about a couple people that I know. But no, notice this. And this goes back to our series on spiritual warfare when we talked about the helmet of salvation. Notice this. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. We already went over this passage last year, but it fits right here, and I think we need to put that in what we're talking about. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, what? The hope of salvation. That's what it comes down to. See, what it comes down to is this. Our hope is a defense against Satan's attacks. What does Satan want us to doubt? He wants us to doubt God. He wants us to question God. You say, well, how do you know? That's what he did with Eve. That's what he said to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say that? Now, I'm going to paraphrase that. Did God really... God's not really as good as you thought he was. Can he be trusted? And that hope of salvation is... every person who receives Christ as their Savior, they're delivered from the penalty of sin. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad that a person can be forgiven and know it? Come on now, amen? Watch this. And then we're being delivered from the power of sin, because sin is trying to dominate even us. Oh, yeah. You know, when you feel the rage on the highway, that is sin wanting to dominate. Yes, Dave Dressler, listen to yourself. Okay? Or when a person... Do you ever meet someone... See, now we're coming into the Christmas season, right? And it'll be ho, ho, ho. And it'll be shoppers galore, right? And did you ever notice how ignorant and arrogant people can be when they're shopping? You know, you're supposed to have the Christmas spirit. It's just like, all you got to do is run a good sale, and there's one left, and there's two people that want it, and you find out just how spirited the season can get. Buy it, Cracky. Right? Because sin wants to still exercise its dominion over us. But you know what? We're being delivered from that, and then our ultimate hope is that we're going to be in heaven someday. Amen? Isn't that the truth? Maybe today my Lord will come for me. Maybe today His glory I shall see. Maybe today from sin I shall be free. Jesus will come and I will go home. It may be today. Let's not ever forget that. Amen? And say, this is our hope. Now, I will say this. I'm done talking about hope, at least in an official series. I've not talked about everything that we could talk about hope. It would make a wonderful study if you just get a concordance and look the word hope up and go to each one of those passages and say, that is God's gift to me by His grace every day. He is the source of it, and it is my enemy that wants me to doubt it. Amen? Let me ask you something. What are you going to do? How are you going to live today? How are you going to live tomorrow? What are the thoughts that will occupy your mind? I'll tell you this. Your source of hope affects everything that I just said. How you'll live your life today and tomorrow. What you'll think about, and what we choose to stress about. Amen? That's why even Christians are not immune, as the psalmist said. As the psalmist encouraged himself, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Let's pray.